This is Dina Marie, and as the Easter season continues, and we continue to pray for the repose of the soul of Pope Francis, and we pray for the church and the work of the Holy Spirit. And as baptized Christians, we are all called to be saints, to be those who live a life of holiness, to give and to love and to serve one another. And I'm just grateful to have the opportunity to go to Holy Cross, the Congregation of Holy Cross at Notre Dame, to talk with my friends, Father Ron Rabb and Brother Philip Smith. We've been talking about the life of Brother Columba. And as we have entered this Easter season, some pretty exciting things have happened at Holy Cross in Notre Dame. Good morning, Father Ron and Brother Philip.
Good morning, Dina Marie. Thanks for having us again.
Yeah.
Well, I want to just open by this transition period, Father Ron, as we are praying for Pope Francis, we're praying for the church and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Just a little bit of what's happening in your heart as we anticipate this next season in the church.
Right. Again, thank you so much for having us today. You know, I certainly watched the funeral of Pope Francis live on our time. It began at 4 a.m. on Saturday. And I was just so incredibly moved by his life and his ministry. But I was really moved by the articulation of the meaning of how he put faith into practice by people who were not Catholic, who from other denominations or not even believers, the way they articulated his life and the meaning of the church. I was deeply, deeply moved by that. So that he was an instrument of gospel justice for people who are starving literally for food, for justice, for hope, for love, for compassion. There was a Monsignor on CBS who described, too, when his mother had Alzheimer's, the Pope called him and said, bring her over. And he celebrated the sacrament of the sick with her. But it was this articulation of the world to describe the leader of the Catholic Church. I must say, I've never heard it in that way before. And that is also a great context to hear that, of course, on Divine Mercy Weekend, but also then to articulate the quest for beatification and sainthood for our very own Brother Columba O'Neill. So this past weekend on Sunday evening on Divine Mercy Sunday, our local bishop, Bishop Kevin Rhodes, organized the event at a Vespers at Sacred Heart Basilica on the campus of the University of Notre Dame to begin the formal process. And I think it is no coincidence that happened on Divine Mercy Sunday in the Easter season. Even along with the papal funeral, because Columba was on the ground of the world, meeting people in their illness and disease, in their loneliness, in their fear, in their depression, in all the ways in which he could offer the Sacred Heart to people who most needed that kind of understanding and love. So I am very excited that the cause has begun formally, and that's what Brother Phil is going to be talking about. I am really, really excited about being on board, at least spiritually, with this quest for Brother Columba O'Neill here at the University of Notre Dame.
Father Ron Rabb with us at Holy Cross, and he serves as the religious superior at Holy Cross House in Notre Dame. And Brother Philip has been teaching in schools for like 50 years, and now he landed as an archivist. And who knew he was going to unpack the life of Brother Columba and now serve as the U.S. coordinator for the cause of Brother Columba. Brother Philip, when you heard that this opening of the cause was happening on Divine Mercy Sunday, just tell us a little bit about that from your perspective, you've been compiling the life of Brother Columba for a few years now, and we've talked about it on the radio. Give us a little bit of what's been going on in your life.
Well, certainly the last 5 weeks have been very, again, touching for me in one sense, because when I found out that the cause would formally open the day after the ordination of our young men to the priesthood at the Basilica of the Sacred Heart during Vespers, I was more than excited. I was elated. I felt so happy that the work that I have done for the last 5 years, in one sense, will now begin to truly impact the cause for beatification and canonization of Brother Columba. With this formal opening on Divine Mercy Sunday also, it just validates the fact that the Holy Spirit, I believe, pulls all of this together in just a profoundly beautiful and simple way. Columba was an apostle of mercy through devotion to the Sacred Heart, to the people that Father Ron had just mentioned, to the lonely, to the fearful, to the outcast, to those who are suffering physically, to those who are suffering mentally and spiritually. And Columba just kind of embraced them through his intercession to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And so with this formal opening now, we'll spend the next year, perhaps 2 years, with individuals who have been selected by the diocese to now review all of the writings of Brother Columba, and then to write a report. And these writings will be sent eventually to the Vatican with a report by three historians who have been specifically selected because they are experts in archival science and they are experts in history, and one of them specifically in USA Catholic history. And the context of Brother Columba within that is very important. And so this step, once it's completed, and once it has been signed off by the Dicastery in Rome, will allow Brother Columba to be declared venerable.
The first step we hear is Servant of God is the title, Servant of God, Brother Columba O'Neill. I want to just direct our listeners to the website because it's beautiful, brothercolumba.com. As more and more of these advancements in the cause for canonization become available, they'll all be posted there online, but you can get the history and again, see this devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus so close to Brother Columba's heart. He would pin those Sacred Heart patches right on the heart of the individual asking for prayers. And we can get prayer cards and cards to really lead us in prayer. But again, brothercolumba.com. So that first level, so to speak, brother, is Servant of God is the title for this individual starting a cause.
And so what has to be proven now is that Brother Columba lived a life of heroic virtue, especially in his demonstration of faith, hope, and charity. And we have profound evidence that he did such. But now it has to be verified by somebody besides myself. And these would be individuals who will take a non-biased look at everything. I suppose I'm biased. In my heart, I know he's a saint, and I just know it from what I've read. Now, others have to read that and say, well, yeah, Brother Philip is not speaking, you know, out of the side of his mouth. The evidence that he has collected and so forth does declare or does verify that this was a holy man. This was a man who lived for others. This is a man who basically diminished himself so that others could receive healing and favors through the intercession of not only Columba of the Sacred Heart, but Columba always said you have to go through Mary's heart to her son's heart. So he had an equal devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And he made lots of badges for the Immaculate Heart of Mary also.
Right.
So that's where we are. And each day now will be somewhat of an adventure for me as I actually find out what I will now be able to contribute to keep the cause moving forward. So perhaps, we don't pin any, this is my assumption, perhaps he will be declared venerable within 5 years of right now.
Wow. It's
Because
all
I think
God's
this
timing,
just,
though.
yes, it is all indeed, as I really do understand. This has happened far more quickly than I thought it would happen already,
Yeah.
and so forth. But I like to give us a lot of lead time and so forth. But there are indications from other folks that I know who suggest that this first process might take less than 15 months here in the States, and then maybe another 2 or 3 years in the Vatican before he would be declared venerable.
Okay. Brother Philip Smith, again with us at Holy Cross, the Congregation of Holy Cross at Notre Dame. He serves as the U.S. coordinator for the cause that officially opened on Divine Mercy Sunday, 2025. What a beautiful gift to the church, a gift of mercy. Father Ron Rabb is also joining us there at Holy Cross. We are up to a break, gentlemen, and so I want to have us take a quick break, but we'll come back in the other half of the hour and continue to talk about now Servant of God, Brother Columba O'Neill, a member of the Congregation of Holy Cross. Stay with us. This is Dina Marie, and I'm back with Brother Philip Smith and Father Ron Rabb at the Notre Dame Holy Cross Congregation. We're talking about the recent beginning of the cause of canonization for Servant of God, Brother Columba O'Neill. He was a member of the Congregation of Holy Cross. He was known as the Miracle Man of Notre Dame, and we've been talking about his story over the last couple of months, and who knew that Divine Mercy Sunday would be the day that his cause for canonization opens up. And Brother Philip, I think about, Mother Teresa, Pope John Paul II. There was this uproaring at the moment that they died. The people, were like declaring these people saints. I mean, we saw the holiness of somebody like a Mother Teresa, of somebody like a Pope John Paul. For Brother Columba and for anyone who's going to have a cause opened up, what's that connection with the love of the people, the devotion of the community to kind of recognize there is something heroic and virtuous about this individual?
In Brother Columba's case, recall that he died over a century ago. So he died in November of 1923. Also, by the year 1916, he was already being proclaimed the Miracle Man of Notre Dame, the Divine Healer. So 8 years before he died, his reputation on the certainly in South Bend, the Midwest, and far beyond that, was already as a miracle worker. When he actually died, we know that the faithful wanted to view the body before it had even been placed into the coffin. And so the first of those were allowed to come to the community house where his body was simply laid out and view his body before it had even gone to an undertaker. I have indications that there were a few thousand people who wanted to file by that body, and they were allowed to. At the moment that he was going to be put into the grave, the casket lid was removed so more faithful could come by, and as one brother recorded it, take their badges, their medals, their rosaries, their memorabilia, and touch it to his body, so that they would take away, in quotes, a relic of the saint. So there was a public uprising of the fact that he had been declared a saint by lots and lots and lots of very common people who knew that Brother Columba, through his intercession to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, would assist them in whatever their need might be through prayer and through devotion to the Sacred Heart.
Yeah. What will you be doing now? Now that the cause has been opened, the next steps for you, for the congregation, and we've got the Vatican, we've got the diocese, we've got the bishop, all involved.
All right, so what has happened is that the Vatican sent a letter to the bishop back in October, which was called the Nihil Obstat. And that simply means we find no obstacle for you to go forward and begin the true investigation of the holiness of this man's life. And so on Divine Mercy Sunday at the Vesper service, the very first thing that the bishop did was he let the people know, I have received permission from the dicastery to open the cause. And then individuals who would be working on the diocesan phase of the cause came forth and took oaths. The bishop was the first one who had to take an oath. And the oath was, for him, that he would in no way impede the progress of the cause, and in no way would he say anything that would not significantly, how should I, positive about the cause to the faithful. He's the one who protects the faithful. He's the one who protects the man and woman in the pew. All right. And then there were three experts, historical experts, who will sit on a panel, and they each had to take an oath of allegiance that they would, in so many words, I will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. And then they had to sign the document, and the document had to be notarized by the chancellor of the diocese. And prior to this, two theologians were selected by the bishop, but neither of them know who the other is. They are totally independent, and they took their oath of allegiance before the bishop privately. And these theologians will investigate the writings of Brother Columba. They will write separate reports. Neither will know who the other is ever, so that they cannot be accused of any kind of bias or anything else. So the level of commitment that an individual needs to make to assist the cause to proceed forward is very formal, almost ecclesiastically legal. Father Ron can verify he was there. There, I don't know how many documents were signed and notarized and then held up so that the public could see them. The other aspect of this is what we call the witnesses. So I was asked to provide a list of persons who would testify before what is known as the promoter of justice in the diocese, that Brother Columba led a holy life and is worthy of being considered for beatification and canonization. There were about 25 names on that list. And so those people now will be called to the diocese, and they will be questioned by a tribunal that has at least the promoter of justice on it. He would be considered almost like a prosecutor. He wants to get the information, and he will ask the lead questions, and others may ask questions to clarify. So I think that of the 25 witnesses, we have 16 excellent candidates who will be questioned, and they will be able to provide evidence of why they believe Brother Columba was not only a holy man, but worthy of beatification and canonization.
Again, we're talking with Brother Philip Smith, the U.S. coordinator for the cause for Brother Columba O'Neill, member of the Congregation of Holy Cross. We have Saint Andre Bessette. We have Blessed Basil Moreau. We have Venerable Father Patrick Payton, and then a few other servant of God's that are also on the docket from the Congregation of Holy Cross. But I think there's something so beautiful about Brother Columba. Father Ron, we've just got a couple more moments, but you know, in this time of Easter, in this time of mercy, in this jubilee of hope, the message that you think Brother Columba leaves with us and urges us to follow, what is that message, that life that he lived, that we are called to follow?
I believe that Brother Columba surrendered his life to the gift of the Sacred Heart. He offered his heart in exchange for the heart of Christ. And that is lived in real life, in real terms, in real the real suffering of people. And I believe that when we look at the process, the quest for him to become a saint, what we're looking at is the reality of people's lives and how they have come to realize the gift of God's love for their life, That's the place in which a saint is born, in the heart of people. It's not in an office of the Vatican, it's in the heart of the people. So it's the people's responsibility to pray with him and for him in light of the Sacred Heart through their own pain and suffering. And that is the quest of the God's mercy in real life, in real people. And we saw this take place at the beginning of this Easter season.
Again, there is no coincidence of timing. I always love to just go, God, you're working in so many ways. Our role right now, Brother Philip, I know I've got holy cards right here. I've got prayer cards. What can we do on the West Coast, anybody who's listening to this, to help support the cause for Brother Columba?
What needs to happen is people need to first go to the website, certainly, and learn about him. Secondly, they need to spread the word to as many of their friends and neighbors as they can about Brother Columba. And if they have needs, spiritual needs, physical needs, whatever it might be, to contact me. Or the diocese. They can contact the diocese also, asking for prayer. I get something about every other day from someone who I've never heard of in my life, who learned about Brother Columba either through the website, the newsletter, the Magnificat, interestingly enough, asking for prayers for someone who is usually sick. And I then write back immediately and say, well, here's what Brother Columba would tell you to do. So do this. And if they need Sacred Heart badges, I will send badges. Anybody who wants anything, all you need to do is contact me, and I will make sure that they get that.
Okay. Again, brothercolumba.com is the website. You'll have a link to that here on this podcast. So I want to have you keep Brother Columba in your prayers, and particularly the intercession of the Sacred Heart. I just love that the Immaculate Heart and the Sacred Heart, they are those are the two hearts that lead us into eternal life. Father Ron, Brother Philip, thank you so much. I think our next topic is going to be on miracles. We're going to talk more about miracles because that is, God is a God of miracles. He is a God of miracles, and we'll cover that next time we get you both together. Father, would you please help us close this time with offering your prayer and a blessing over our listeners?
Ever gracious and merciful God, in this Easter season, help us recognize the heart of your Son, Jesus. Help us all to touch the mystery of the redeemed wounds of the body of Christ in the world. Those who are hungry and those who ache for justice, those who long for education and peace. May we be instruments of such love from the heart of your Son. And we ask this in his name. Amen. May
Amen.
Almighty God bless and keep us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father Ron, Brother Philip. Have a blessed Easter season, and we'll be talking with you very soon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.